AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. A televised debate is scheduled for September 10th on ABC between former President Trump and his Democratic rival Kamala Harris in the race for president.
A new poll from Marquette University Law School showing Harris leading Trump by 6 points in a head-to-head matchup among likely voters, 53-47%, with a margin of error of 4.7%. But this race will be decided in the battlegrounds. In swing state Wisconsin, the Marquette poll shows Harris and Trump in a dead heat.
ABC Selena Wang. Tropical Depression Debbie spinning over the Northeast after causing death and destruction in the Carolinas. The storm may have caused a plane with Carolina Panthers players on board to get stuck in the mud after landing at Charlotte's airport overnight. And Debbie isn't done. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster watching floodwaters rise. Overseas, a bus in Turkey swerved off a highway and slammed into an overpass today, killing 9 people, injuring at least 26 others. This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin ranks near the bottom of the nation when it comes to state investment in four-year education. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says that's a surefire way to lose top talent.
I know enough about having managed highly talented people. Don't pay them, they will find someplace else to work.
Rothman testified yesterday to a study committee which will spend the next several months looking into the UW system's problems and how to possibly solve them. More than 1,000 road projects in Wisconsin are getting $174 million from the Department of Transportation. Local governments told the state which roads need the most work. Also this week, Wisconsin got $200 million from the federal government to fix or replace more than 150 roads and bridges. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth Farmers Market will host Minnesota's National Farmers Market Week celebration. According to a Northern News Now report, the Lincoln Park Farmers Market was chosen to host the event, which members of the market say is a great honor. Officials from the Minnesota Farmers Market Association said they wanted to hold this year's event in the northern region after being in Winona and the Twin Cities. They also say they recognized the hard work that the Lincoln Park Farmers Market has put in to serve their community. A popular Duluth playground is now missing one of its play structures after being removed by the city. According to a WDIO report, city officials say the structure at Playfront Park was removed because the manufacturer no longer builds it, meaning the city can no longer replace any parts of the structure that break. Parks and Recreation officials say they're working on finding a replacement structure to add back to the park, but have not been able to provide a timeline for when that replacement structure could be built. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers come home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers back in action tonight in Milwaukee against the Cincinnati Reds. The crew coming off a 3-game sweep of the Braves, beating them 16-7 yesterday in Atlanta. 20 hits, 6 home runs in just the first 5 innings. 2 from rookie Jackson Churio, manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier for Jack. I mean, he's just coming into his own, you know what I mean, and letting his talent play and not dwelling on the failures and bouncing back after that. So really pleased with him.
NFL, the Packers head to Cleveland to play the Browns in their first preseason game, kickoff tomorrow afternoon at 3:25. 6'6" Rojay Stona got a tryout as a defensive end in the Packers rookie minicamp this spring. Last night during the Olympics, Stona won a gold medal for Jamaica by throwing the discus 70 meters, setting a new world record.
I'm speechless, to be honest. Just enjoying the moment. I'm in good shape right now. All I just needed was get a good release, find that angle. I mean, it was great. Nothing to lose.
As Rojay Stona with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two this afternoon with a high right around 65 this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight into the mid-40s. Tomorrow partly cloudy, low 70s on Sunday. Sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's Southwest Wisconsin reporter extraordinaire and showbiz fan, Stuart J. Waddles, and it's a Bar Band Friday as we welcome Max Inc. Radio's Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Sunday afternoon, really couldn't get away too soon. I can't imagine anything that's better. The world is ours whenever we're together. There ain't a place I like to be. Down a crowded avenue to anything we like to do.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Before we go back to the phone line, Sandy, I would say to you, that, and I asked you before we got on the air about just where all this is headed, and I am fearful that, you know, if things don't work out according to the way the Republicans want this, you just saw, you know, snippets of the anger that exist towards other human beings. Now, whether somebody is transgender or not is not my issue. And people have a right to be whomever they want to be in this nation. Is it safe to say that?
Well, like I said, though, I think that a lot of this is our red herring. And that's what I described it as to the caller. It's designed to get us agitated. I think that one of the problems that the Republican Party has had recently is that they have difficulty talking about issues that are actually appealing to the middle class. And it's the middle class that needs to be appealed to, not only because of their numbers, but because of the situation that has happened to them as our economy has evolved, not because of what a particular administration has done, but as the economy has evolved, as benefits have moved away from being provided by employers to being borne by the workers. And as more and more of our workers are earning something less than a salary, which would allow a middle-class family to be born by that single salary. So now we have two workers instead of one. We have workers bearing the cost of benefits, and it's changed things. And so if the Republicans aren't willing to talk about the things that actually matter to Tom, Dick, and Mary and their budget, they're forced to talk about things that might be inflammatory to them, at least, or attract their attention, i.e. social issues. And so if they can get and attract a middle class to vote for them, not because it's in the interest of that middle class with respect to their pocketbooks and their day-to-day life, but because that middle class has become fearful based on things that have been said to them about the world around them. so that and that's what's happened. We end up with a Republican Party that is driven by a discussion of social issues, many of which have little pertinence in terms of the numbers of them, have little pertinence to any sort of issue that the government ought to be involved with. And so I think if that gets diffused, if the campaign reverts to something that's actually talking about policy, and if the anger and fear of the middle class that is being driven by those who want to get their votes by stoking that, if that strategy fails, then I don't think the mob of January 6th will be duplicated, and I don't think we'll end up with anything to fear about the outcome of the election.
So long term, can the Republican Party recover from MAGA? There are still Republicans, sane Republicans, there are Republicans, Sandy, that are still silent or being shouted over, who clearly voices are being muted by MAGA Republicans, by Donald Trump.
I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what happens in the future, but I think that the MAGA movement is so personality driven that I think if Donald Trump leaves the scene, and I don't know when and how that happens, but I mean,
he doesn't walk away.
No,
he's going to have to be forced.
No, I mean, I just think when he no longer is casting his shadow over the political process, that the MAGA movement doesn't survive, because I think that the anger and fear kind of aspect of it is something that's been driven by his personality and his approach. And I don't think that many of the people who've decided to embrace it have been doing it for any reason other than expedience and opportunism. And it is not necessarily something, a coat or a cloak that they're wearing comfortably. I mean, there are some who seem to be very comfortable with it. Congressman Green, Congresswoman Green, and Boebert, and some folks
right.
like that, Getz, although some of those seem to be quite comfortable in that garb. But I don't think it's anything like a majority, either in Congress or a majority of the people out there who are Republicans. I think the Republicans are patriotic people who want to do the right thing. I think, unfortunately, they've been persuaded that the right thing involves getting all messed up in all these social issues.
But the opportunity for them who follow him only exists if he can ascend to the position of power.
Well, that's sort of the way it works, right? I mean, if you're vested in someone politically, then if they get elected, you've succeeded. If they don't get elected, you're yesterday's story. I'm just kind of hopeful that the atmosphere in this campaign has changed and will remain changed, and that the call for terror and the call for fear is not going to be received in the same manner as it was with an opposition that is insisting on talking about other things and is resisting the impulse to throw mud. A mud fight takes two people, right? You got to have mud going both directions, and I think that maybe this is a situation in which the mud's going to fly just from one.
Let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Morning, guys. If I had a quarter for every lie that's been spewed by certain people on the station, I would be a millionaire by now, you know, because it hits every single show. Anyway, I remember when Mary Burke was running, and, you know, we just had a station, not like you guys down here, in Eau Claire area. And just before the election, it was spewing all over the place that Mary Burke was fired by her father. Over the air, said many times, and pretty soon, boy, that lady lost. And there's so many things that are spewed out there that people just hear over and over and over again that they don't even think about it, because if, you know, like different things that are being spewed by right-wing radicals. I love that word, right-wing radicals. And they, if you hear it all the time, sometimes you just think it without even honestly thinking about it, and then you add fear to it, and you get that feeling with it, and it's a psychological manipulation, huge. But the sad thing about this is you have to confront this idiocracy. And we have to confront the lies that are being spewed. I mean, what great people to have leading our country by Kamala and the governor of Minnesota. How blessed are we to have these people? And I believe we are blessed religiously by Joe Biden and the people that work every day that have a D after their name. And I'm independent. I used to pick on both of them, but God darn it, people with the R after their name have become really bad. And the good Republicans, by the way, they have Republican voters against Trump. Look it up. Hear what they got to say. There's a lot of good Republicans. They may have stepped back. A lot of them have left that are saying, don't vote for Trump. Don't listen to the lies. And then I want to know who the wizard is behind the curtain, because Trump could not do this by himself. There's plenty of people that are loving this kind of stuff going on in our country, and we need to fight back. Sorry to go on and on, but, man, this is upsetting to listen to this garbage going on about good people. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great week.
Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, like I said, we've been around a while. We've watched different campaigns. This is the 90 days will come, and the outcome that, you know, that we all hope for, you know, may not happen. If it does, we'll be celebratory, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done to right-size this nation and to put it back on track where it is a nation that offers the American dream again. That more than anything else is what is begging for being corrected and offering the thing that made America what she was. And we clearly know that in many instances, that opportunity is gone for far too many people.
Well, that's like Bernie Sanders in this video. And I wasn't a person who wanted to get Bernie Sanders nominated when he was running, but I think he's very wise, and I think he has his finger directly on the pulse of Middle America, and he speaks there about the importance of this campaign to the middle class of America, because there are these issues that need to be addressed. And these issues that truly matter to them. And if we can get politics back to talking about the things that really matter to them, we can possibly move in the direction of resurrecting the American dream for those people. Because the trend line right now is moving away from having the mass of Americans have the American dream within reach. Okay, and we need to get back to having the American dream within reach of almost everyone. And that was what we were built on. That was the glory of the 50s and 60s and 70s. And we've been moving away from it ever since, based on all kinds of evolutionary factors. But we need to pay attention to it, and we need to get back to it. And politically, I think that's what this election is ultimately going to be all about.
You know, Sandy, you're starting to see incrementally some changes on the state levels with, you know, Republicans who've had so much control, state by state. We're starting to see some incremental changes. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. We're gonna talk and laugh all time away. I feel it coming closer.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
and this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
A little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry.
So Bobby McFerrin, he was before the beatbox, basically, but he makes all of the sounds in this. I mean, all those background sounds and everything are his vocal cords.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy. So, Sandy, you know, I want to spend this one more segment on all of this. Because just looking at it for what it is right now, and it's, again, 90 days, anything can happen. And people can bask in the glory, and I guess that's what people are doing right now. Not much talk at all about President Biden. You know, you still got 90 days. There's still issues. And you look at him, you know, I look at him and, you know, the process, right?
Well, but there are still things being accomplished in the background. You know, they had the prisoner swap with Russia, in spite of the fact that Donald Trump said he was the only one that could accomplish it. It got accomplished. And of course, Trump, if he had accomplished it, he said he wouldn't have paid anything, but I'm confident that. For instance, capitulating on the Ukraine is paying something, you know, in terms of the process that might be the background if Donald Trump had secured the release. And there's ongoing peace talks in Gaza. There's currently the issue with Iran and trying to moderate the Iranian response to the actions of Israel that related to the killing of Hamas and Hezbollah leaders. And, you know, it appears so far, at least, that there hasn't been a massive response, and it might well be that America is going to be effective at making sure that Iran threads the needle and doesn't do something that is necessarily requires a mass response.
So, you know, I was talking or listening last night to Fox News, and they were talking about Kamala Harris does not fit. Why would we put America's safety in the hands of a novice? The people aren't willing. They basically were saying that this woman has no chops for dealing with global issues.
Well, is that because she's a woman? Because, you know, Donald Trump, when he was elected in 2016, didn't have the chops. You know, He'd had failed businesses, but he didn't have any demonstrated capacity for international affairs. And, you know, we have secretaries of state who get appointed. We have a whole State Department that's got a massive level of experience. We have the CIA and our intelligence agencies. I mean, we don't look for somebody who has the experience because... You know, there have been very few, there have been a couple of ex-secretaries of state who've run, two, in fact. I think Kerry and well, maybe he was a candidate before he was Secretary of State.
Hillary, yes.
and Hillary. And of course, then what happened was that the opposition simply attacked them for anything they had done as Secretary of State and criticized them for the experience they had. I don't know. To me, it seems like a misogynist attack. I think that what they're saying is any woman capable of handling our foreign affairs? And I guess maybe they should look at Margaret Thatcher.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
They should look at the German experience and all around the world.
Angela Merkel.
Yeah, Angela Merkel.
Sandy, you stole my thunder.
Oh, my God.
You really did. I mean, because that's what they're saying. And again, it's not the individual. Kamala Harris is not going to sit down and make the decisions on the foreign policy issues, and no president individually.
Well, she won't do it in a vacuum. The buck does stop with the president on those decisions, but they have lots of advisors and they have people with lots of experience. She did serve in the U.S. Senate, which takes up international affairs matters with some regularity. I think it's a false attack. I think it basically is an attack that's trying to blow the dog whistle that should a woman be in charge of this country's foreign affairs, is a woman capable of doing it? I think that's the subliminal message that's being sent with that kind of discussion.
So as we go to Don from Milwaukee, Don, good morning. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm excited about this new Harris-Walz ticket. We're going to get people in there, hopefully, to solve problems, not create problems. The other guy, he all he does is blow a lot of hot air, and most of it comes out of his rear end. He keeps harping about this border. Okay, now there's a problem. What was his solution? Build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. Well, that didn't work. So then he passed the problem on to the Biden administration. Okay, they got down, rolled up their sleeves, got the work, bipartisan bill, and he comes along, and he didn't want to see the problem solved. So he tells Johnson not to. It's an example that there is a person that doesn't want to solve anything. He just wants to create havoc. So I'm really happy and excited about this new ticket, and I believe when it's all said and done, the Biden-Harris ticket is going to kick ass. So that's all I got to say.
Right down. Thank you very much for the call.
Well, in fact, about the bipartisan bill, one of the things that one of the earlier callers mentioned and wanted to hang out there for us to consider was the fact that H.R. 2, which was the Border Protection Act that was the partisan Republican bill, did not get to the floor, and Schumer did block that. But H.R. 2, and it was the beginning of the bipartisan discussion. So H.R. 2 didn't get to the floor, but it triggered the bipartisan negotiation, which resulted in a bipartisan bill, which then got tanked by Donald Trump. So I simply want to point out that H.R. 2 wasn't ignored. H.R. 2 was actually received by the president and the Democrats in the Senate, and it became the subject of a negotiation into a bipartisan bill based on a commission that was put together.
So, Sandy, a couple things I want to discuss on the other side. And that's both sides brace for escalation as Ukraine pushes further into Russia. And clearly, we need to talk about the response that's coming with Israel. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams and I.
Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some reminders about Tuesday's Wisconsin primary election. It's a partisan primary, so you can only vote for candidates in one party. There'll be five parties to choose from. Election clerks say you should follow the prompts vertically when you find the space for your party. Clerks also say it's important to turn your ballot over to look for races or referendums on the back. Kamala Harris's rapid rise may lead to more interest in the upcoming Democratic National Convention and maybe shorter presidential campaigns. David Schultz teaches political science at Hamline University.
We have forgotten about the fact that for so much of American history, we didn't know the presidential nominee until the convention.
Voters tell pollsters they want shorter campaigns, but Schultz says that's easier said than done. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Prilly Circle in the Duluth Civic Center has been reopened after the clearing out of the City Hall encampment. According to a Fox 21 report, city crews had fenced the area off after clearing the encampment on Wednesday to restore the damaged grounds and reopened it on Thursday. The grassy area of the Civic Center is still fenced off as city officials say it needs serious restoration work. Mayor Roger Reinert says when it is reopened, it will once again be a public space accessible to anyone with the same permit rules. The encampment outside Duluth City Hall was officially cleared out on Wednesday morning. Duluth police officials gave the members of the encampment 1 week to clear out following the passage of new city ordinances last week that target camping on city property. On Wednesday morning, two people were arrested for obstruction as the encampment was cleared. The encampment began as a way for local residents to protest the war in Gaza and later grew to include members of the city's unhoused population pushing for change. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Three Taylor Swift shows were canceled due to a terrorist attack threat. The Associated Press reports that authorities in Vienna, Austria, apprehended two men, one of them the 19-year-old ringleader. The canceled shows were for August 8th, 9th, and 10th, and those with tickets will get a full refund. Reps for Taylor Swift have not commented yet on the incident. The Swift Eras Tour has spanned 145 shows in five continents. It started in 2023 and is scheduled to end in Vancouver in December. There is drama on the set of the new Bridget Jones film. The shooting schedule was disrupted by bats. Experts say their habitat was disrupted by the filming in Keswick, Cumbria. That was almost enough to distract fans from the fact that Colin Firth's character, Mark Darcy, is returning for the fourth installment of the franchise. Apparently, Firth's return has been planned for a while, but they were hoping to keep it a secret. Bridget Jones' Mad About the Boy is expected in theaters in February of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two this afternoon with a high right around 65 this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight into the mid-40s. Tomorrow partly cloudy, low 70s on Sunday. Sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 55.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingard, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will welcome Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOB's World, with a week in review. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy. So, Sandy, we haven't talked about Ukraine in a while. And it looks for all the world like this thing is not slowing down. It's ramping up even more. And it says 4 days into Ukraine's surprise assault into Western Russia, both sides were bracing for an escalation in the fighting.
Well, you know, I just don't know. Wars, when you watch it, some of it's it's imponderable, right? I've always wondered why it was that Ukraine was being so careful about not crossing the border. Russia obviously wasn't careful about crossing their border, but it's a war that is based on tactics and what it is that might work. And my sense is that this could be something that's being done on the edge of, or with the expectation that negotiations toward a settlement are moving closer in time, and that this is an effort to try and get leverage in a settlement discussion. Much of what Ukraine has been doing lately looks like leverage. There are attacks in the Crimea. There are attacks on the Kerch Bridge that connects mainland Russia with Crimea. And now all of this looks like, to me, the effort to get leverage for negotiation. And of course, the response of Putin to this was almost the next day he read into the media what his demands for settlement were. And he was basically saying, look, we'll have a ceasefire immediately if, and then he basically said that when Ukraine gives up its claim to any of the territory that was the part of
USSR.
USSR when back in the day before Khrushchev made the shift in the land holdings between the republics of Ukraine and Russia, and that they would give up any claim to any willingness or desire to be a part of NATO. And so, you know, that struck me as his opening salvo as well in a settlement discussion. And so who knows? Maybe this is actually portending something that would be moving in the direction of a settlement of the war.
Well, you know, Sandy, I don't think any of us, what year is this? Three? Two?
Yeah, this is the third year of the war.
And I don't think we could have fathomed that it would still be going on.
No, that's a long war. You know, I mean, the major European wars, the Second World War, it lasted essentially 6 years, but much of it was fought in the space of the last couple of years. The first couple of years didn't involve a lot of resistance other than Russia, which probably won the war for the West in terms of taking up most of the casualties and causing most of the German casualties.
So once, let's say, Ukraine starts penetrating Russian soil, we're escalating this thing.
Well,
right?
Is it safe to say? Well, I mean, they're just definitely playing a card, and it's risky for them because they're going to have a whole bunch of troops, and apparently it's some of their prize troops who will be extended into Russia. And
you mean Ukraine?
The Ukrainian troops are extended into Russia and will be surrounded on three sides by Russia, okay? Because wherever they're located, there'll be three sides around them.
Which is suicide.
Puts them at risk.
Yeah.
They appear to be headed toward the Kursk, which is the home of a nuclear power plant. And they have taken control of a town which controls the metering for the gas that flows from Russia under Ukraine to Europe. And maybe they're going to try and seize control of the nuclear power plant, which provides a good deal of power into Russia for that region. And so that strikes me as, again, leverage. And so my sense is that this might well be something that's intended to create a leverage for a negotiation which might be on the eve of being undertaken, because it would be impossible for Ukraine to take and hold a substantial portion of land in Russia if Russia decided that wasn't a good idea.
So let me ask you, Sandy, this clearly is an all out war. Is Russia engaged in a full fledged war, or are they tempering some of this?
Well,
I mean, being as powerful as they are militarily,
I think that they've somewhat tempered the nature of the war in terms of restricting it to the battlefields. There's been a lot of destruction of cities, and particularly cities in the areas that they would claim. So, you know, they've laid waste to much of the area that they are now wanting to lay claim to in a settlement. So it kind of, you sort of scratch your head. I think what happened was that Putin bit off more than he could chew. I think he thought that it was going to be a very quick conquest, like days, and right. It's now turned into years. He's not been willing to have many conscriptions. So his military is not unlimited in its size. And so, you know, I personally think that we might be moving in the direction of a negotiation sooner rather than the later, and the public just simply might not be aware of it. Because otherwise, I think this incursion into Russia is too imponderable and too, you know, it's too mysterious as to what the intent of it could be.
So when you look at Sandy, you know, some settlement kind of reality, you're looking on the one side with, what's the guy's name for Ukraine? It's been so long.
Vladimir Zelensky.
Zelensky, who clearly states, you know, he's not willing to give up anything. And you're looking at Putin, who is clearly stating and even more dangerous because they're now on his homeland. This can be very difficult and tricky kind of, you know, who's going to handle this?
Well, I think there are some mediators, Turkey, China, there's several countries in the position.
Working on it now?
I think so. I would guess so. Yes. I don't know. I have a sense that
the United States won't be one of those nations.
Well, I think we would be back channel involved in some fashion as well, because we're the important provider of weapons
right.
to Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine can't sustain a defense without the support of the West, and the West won't be able to sustain a long-term provision of arms to Ukraine without the United States being the biggest part of it. So I think we have a fair amount to do with whether or not there are discussions and how they end up. My sense is that they might be ongoing. I think that a great deal of what Ukraine has been doing has been an effort to achieve enough leverage so that they're in a position not to give everything that Putin has asked for. I suspect that what they'll give up will be the areas of Ukraine which are occupied and controlled by Russia. And try not to give up the entire Donetsk region, which is what is being referred to by Putin when he says that they give up everything that used to be a part of Russia, used to be a part of Russia under the Soviet Union.
Well, you know, the ground war, Sandy, that it's been going on now, as you stated, going on for 3 years, and all of the Ukrainians who have lost their lives. There's got to be a point where there aren't as many men left of age to continue a fight like this.
Well, I think that's right. I think that there are also a fair number of foreign mercenaries fighting for them, and I think some of the money that's being provided to Ukraine is undoubtedly paying the Georgians and the Poles and the British and the others who have decided to sign up. I don't know how many of those there are, and they have become... Ukraine has become stricter about
who they're going to
the movement it. Of men out of if you have a Ukrainian passport and you're a man, you aren't going to leave Ukraine if you haven't served already. And they're reducing the draft age, continuing to do that. But sure, it's a finite commodity. Russia is as well is losing people hand over fist, and I don't think they have the political appetite. You know, they aren't defending their own ground like Ukraine is. So Ukraine is going to fight to closer to its last man. Russia wouldn't have the political appetite to do that for Ukraine.
Well, you have to ask yourself, Sandy, in the long run, you know, when you talk about fighting to the last man, generationally, how many generations have they already given up?
Well, Russia.
Yes.
Yeah, but during
Ukraine.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
Well.
Ukraine was part of it. The Soviet Union obviously gave up almost an entire generation in World War II when they lost 26 million people. That was men and women,
right.
Because of, you know, I think there were 15 or 16 million military, and the rest were civilian casualties. But Yeah. You know, it's a horrible thing. And I just have a sense that the that a reality might be being realized on both sides that will move in the direction of there being a settlement. The sorry thing is that I think the settlement's going to look a great deal like what possibly could have been agreed to
without
in a
this
negotiation
bloodshed.
Without the war. Yeah.
Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning. I was wondering, I have a quick question. I tried to listen to the station on Alexa today. This is just a quick question, and it didn't seem to recognize WAUK, and it normally does. But I was just calling to ask about or say something about the race overall. You know, in less than 3 weeks, the polls have flipped. And while Vice President Harris and Governor Walz are out talking to voters, their felonious opponent is ranting and airing grievances about crowd sizes to the supplicant for-profit media who are just looking for the horse race. And while knowing that they're not going to ask questions about the horse itself. So what I believe is that essentially, you know, this race is not over. It's still, you know, people still got to get out, but seeing the enthusiasm and thing like that on one side, I think, and if you consider that both of these, you know, the Democratic ticket has spent decades of public service, and they haven't found anything to bury them immediately. There's nothing to bury them. There's no scandal hiding, nothing like that waiting in the weeds. And so they're going to just rant on for the next couple of months, but they have nothing new to go on. But I'd like to say the reason I actually called is to remind folks and ask you two to talk about this, is that unlike January 6, 2021, when the Democrats sweep into power this November and leave the righty-tighty whiteys on the outside looking in, Putin's favorite president won't have anybody on the inside the White House and the Capitol who can act on his behalf as he could in 2021. Biden will have armed forces on standby, ready to whoop up any MAGA uprisings, which I don't think there will be any. But I'd like to say that just to say that it's going to be different from 2021 because he worked everything from the inside, and that's not going to be possible this time. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you very much for the call, Eric. Sandy, I would say we don't know what the future holds. I will say, and I said it before, Sandy, America's going to be ready for any uprising, more so now than they were before.
Yeah, I think one of the things about the caller was sort of the notion that this is a done deal. I don't think it's a done deal. I think there's lots of water to go under the bridge between in the next 88 days or whatever the number is down to now. And there will need to be a discussion of policy, and we'll have to see whether what I'm predicting comes true, which is that the Democratic ticket becomes articulate about being able to explain to America, middle America, and all of us why it is that they have ideas for America that should support them being elected. I think they're going to do a good job of that, and I think that it will be refreshing to the public to have actual policy discussed.
You know, Sandy, I think part of what we're leaving out in all of this is that with this transition and this change, there was conversation about whether or not the Democrats are going to lose the House, the Senate,
yeah,
and possibly the House. There's talk now that this can change all of those things. We'll talk about it on the other side. Yeah. 844-967-2789 is the number.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to
travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to hear.
Well, you can't feel any better than James Brown, and I feel good.
That's right. Got my cape on.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams, who's been really joyful throughout the day. Let me ask you, Sandy, because if Kamala and Walz can win this election, there'll be some stragglers that'll come along Congress. Because one of the things that Nancy Pelosi was so adamant about that Joe Biden had to go, she saw in a vision them losing control over the Senate and the House.
Yeah, I mean, the House is, they're close. It's close enough so that, you know, it's currently Republican, but it's very close. And in an enthusiastic Democratic win, you could expect the House to swing in the direction of being Democrat. And what Nancy was looking at was a loss of all three. Okay, so you'd end up handing the Republican Party total control. And that's why they keep measuring enthusiasm, because it's enthusiasm for a ticket that has down ticket effects. And if you have an enthusiastic electorate out enthusiastically voting at the presidential level, you can expect them to have some coattail effects down ticket. And I think that could well be the case in this circumstance. I think that if the electorate, if there's a strong turnout because of enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm is comfortable and enthusiastic about the presidential campaign, that's been the kind of situation that has resulted in down ticket victories as well.
All right, let's go to Bill from McConnell. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Hey, on James Brown, I feel good. I want to see Sandy with that cape on taking me. And then I want to see you, Earl, pat him on the back, and he whips the cape off and he goes back to singing. I want to see that, Sandy.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see me do the splits.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll pay money for that. Yeah. I want a front row seat to that.
Somebody on standby. He may be able to do the splits, but he'll have trouble getting back up.
Yeah, it'll be.
he's in a better position to do the splits than I am. Though he's got long legs. Go ahead.
Both are in better position than me, but here's why I call. I just struggle with this, and it's maybe the way I grew up. Why do we give a microphone to a man with 34 felony convictions, 26 sexual assaults, 2 impeachments, 11 bankruptcies, and we give him a microphone? When I grew up, you wouldn't even think of giving a microphone to a guy like that. Why don't they just stand on it alone and say, look, America doesn't want a felon and a sexual predator to be in charge of our country, period.
Hey, Bill.
You don't have to go to all the programs.
Bill, I wish it was that easy. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, Sandy, it does beg the question. Nobody's talking about those felonies and those things.
Well, it's because, like I've said, I think it's an interesting phenomenon. But if things are not done secretly, if it isn't that you discovered it about someone and revealed it, but rather it's just done openly and notoriously, open and notorious conduct, we all seem to turn the other okay? We don't seem to worry about it. It's only when we uncover something that seems to be secret that we decide that it's shameful, and the person who's kept it a secret is then shamed because that's why they were keeping it a secret. Donald lives his life in a very open and notorious way, and he's incapable, I think, of a life, for instance, telling the truth. He lives in a world of hyperbole. He lives in a world in which he thinks he can do no wrong. And as a result of that sort of attitude, I think the rest of the world gives him a pass.
All right, let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
I just wanted to say that I think, first of all, when we refer to Republicans, there's Republicans that are Republicans, and then there are MAGA Republicans. So I think you need to separate the two, because there are a lot of good Republicans out
there. Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier. We talked about that a little earlier, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I just wanted to tell everybody to go out and hug a friend this weekend, enjoy the weather, enjoy the United States, and kind of try to put everything down for a couple of minutes, because there's some joy coming back into the country, and I think people need to realize that. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy.
Well, that's why I picked the music. I really am hopeful that just the image, you know, you watch Tim Walz give a speech, and you're going to like this person, and you're going to see that he's a joyful, positive person. And, you know, you can try and figure out what it is. If you've decided you're against the ticket, you can try and dig and find something about their past in terms of politics or whatever. But these people who are running, at least facially, are joyful, positive people. And I think the American public both wants it and needs it.
Well, you know, you look at Walz's record, and the humanity that he's exhibited, not just now because he's running for office, but that he's exhibited in his life. And you can't take that away. You can't besmirch that, right? I don't care. They can't attack him from those from that perspective.
Well, I'm sure they've looked, but apparently they're having trouble finding high school students who didn't think he was a great teacher.
Yeah.
They're having trouble finding anyone who's going to surface anything about him. There are people who are trying to attack whether or not he went to battle when he never claimed he went to battle. This whole question of swift boating has already commenced, right? Apparently, if you're in the military, you're subject to being attacked for how it is you were in the military. John McCain made the mistake of being a hero, but then being made captive for a long period of time. In Donald Trump's book, that was apparently a bad thing. John Kerry got swift boated, and you know, there's this obvious quick effort now to try and see whether there can be a besmirchment of Walz based on his 24 years in the National Guard. But you know, I think that he is, all you have to do is watch him, listen to him, see him, you understand who he is, okay? And and he's a positive person.
Well, and it's hard to defeat that. 844-967-2070. We're done. All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sandy. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Tuesday. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Matt Nair, Jane Matt Nair, and Greg Bach on Matt Nair on Air. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll reminisce about how we'll always have Paris as the Summer Olympics draw to a close, plus news headlines from over the weekend.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.